The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 20. And there are many areas that we could use in dealing with worship, but we will use the area of the Samaritan woman, or the woman at the well, as she is known as we introduce this subject, and we'll just scratch the surface of it this morning, and then we'll get more into it as the next couple weeks goes by. Also, open your Bibles, Acts chapter 27 is our jumping verse for the Abide in the Ship series, Acts 27 and verse number 30. Acts 27 and verse number 30. And I do trust that you're ready to worship the Lord. And let me say this before we even get started. Oftentimes we really, if we're honest, don't know how to worship like we should. But we should be willing to give him our utmost best. Amen. Not leftovers, not second best. Worship him the best way you know how. And our story today is going to be a lady called the Samaritan woman, or the woman at the well. She was doing the best she could. And Jesus had to enlighten her a little bit. Acts 27 and verse number 30. Let's read verses 30, 31, and 32. I'll read 30, and then I want you to read 31 with me, and then I'll read 32. It says, "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under color," that was in disguise, "as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship," read with me, "Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.'" Those were the ones that were responsible for the navigation of the ship, the steering of the ship. And Paul said, if these guys don't stay in it, they're allowed to get out, you're not going to be saved. "Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off." That's been our theme all year. There's certain ships that you see behind me on the banners that you and I need to abide in for our spiritual welfare. And jumping out of the ship is not only hazardous to your health, but could be an untimely death on your part. Go back to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. The ship that's in question today is the worship. The worship, this is the Samaritan woman here. We'll detail a little bit of the background on that in just a moment. But we'll pick it up in verse number 20. The woman at the well has gotten to the point where she's in dialogue with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking to her and uncovering some things to her about her past. And as she said in 19, the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Verse 20, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain," she said, "and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father.'" That's good to know, because that means you and I would have to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship. Somebody say amen. Anybody want to make a trip? Amen. All right. He said it's going to come that day. Verse number 22. "Ye worship, ye know not what." Is that a bunch of church members right there or what? "Ye worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. "But the hour is coming, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers," that is those that have had the Holy Spirit of God, "shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth," in a spiritual way and in a factual way. "The Father seeketh such to worship him." Read together with me verse 24. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Notice he didn't say it'd be a good idea. He said, if you're going to worship, it's got to be in spirit and it's got to be in truth. He didn't say it's a good idea. It's a good suggestion. He said, if you're going to do it, it must be this way. Similar to the fact that you must be born again. Or neither is there salvation given in any other name. But there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we're going to worship God Almighty, it must be in spirit and it must be in truth. I dare say in fundamental circles today we have a lot of truth. We have very little spirit. I must say in many other charismatic and Pentecostal ministries, they have a lot of spirit, but oftentimes they don't have truth. God says it's got to be both. Got to be both. There's got to be a balance. He's going to go throughout this chapter here and get a lost woman to the point where she recognizes her need for Jesus Christ. And she's going to be able to worship in spirit and in truth. I dare say, as we look at this lost woman, oftentimes we mimic some of the same things that she does in churches around the world. And I dare say maybe even at Shining Light Baptist Church. So we're going to look at some things today as we jump into the worship today and see what God wants to do in our lives. And I will tell you this, he does want your worship, but we can only do it in spirit, and we can only do it in truth. Father, bless now these next moments that we have together. God, may our attention and our mind be arrested. We may truly contemplate the magnitude of the privilege that we have to worship you in spirit and in truth. And you desire us to worship you. Oh God, take us back to that point and place and time when we were truly in awe of you, when we truly reverenced you, not because of what you could do to us, but because of who you are. Oh God, help us to get that glimpse again of the greatness of God and the glory of God. As Moses said, show me thy glory. Lord, it's not until that time that we will recognize the worship that you truly deserve. God, take me as your servant today. Lord, as I've had some time at home to contemplate about worship, not being in the worship service, I'm so glad that worship is not just tied to a building or a place, that I could worship you in spirit and truth just about any place. Lord, when we come to this place, specifically this place, should be a time of worship. Lord, help us to separate our attention, our mind to you, that you would get all praise, honor, and glory, and we truly would leave here differently than when we came in, having gotten a glimpse of the glory of God. Work in our hearts, work in our minds, show us thy glory, help us to worship a better way today. Bless the music, the children's ministry, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother, you may be seated. Brother Fred and Brother Gary can come sing for us this morning.
I have found the way that leads to endless day, yonder in the glory land. And the road is bright, for the Jesus is the light, and I hold his guiding hand. I have found a way, I have found a way. Glory, hallelujah, I have found a way. I will never fear while Jesus is so near. I will bravely meet the foe. Happy songs I'll sing in honor to the King, and to glory onward go. I have found the way, I have found the way. Glory, hallelujah, I have found the way. To the journey's end, led by faithful friend, never more in sin to roam. By the way called straight, I'll reach the golden gate of the soul's eternal home. I have found the way, I have found the way. Glory, hallelujah, I have found the way. I have have found the way. I have found the way.
All right. Thank you, Fred and Gary. I found the way. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life? Amen. And so we found the way. Amen. It's because we found Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to have that message today. Well, we're going to look at this topic called worship. There's a lot of worship going on around the world today. A lot of worship going around churches right now, as a matter of fact. Amen. This is Sunday morning. Worship is another one of the ships that we have talked about that we need to abide in. And by the way, worship is not a frivolous ship either. You know, a lot of folks think of worship is to bounce around the church and bounce off the walls and roll around. And, you know, you got to ask yourself, what kind of worship does God get from that? And you think about it. If we were going to call ourselves worshiping our greatest sports figure, I'll use Steph Curry because G2 likes Steph Curry. Now just imagine him going to worship Steph Curry by bouncing off the walls and jumping up and down and rolling around. What type of worship would Steph Curry get from that? Not a whole lot. We're going to worship our movie star, whoever it is, those stars that we like, and we go in their presence and we bounce around the walls and ecstatically speak and blabber things and slobber at the mouth. What kind of worship would that figure get? But yet and still, sometimes that's the worship that Jesus has to get in churches. Amen. Amen. Does Jesus have to settle for that? He shouldn't really have to. But sometimes that's the best he's going to get from some people. So far, we talked about abiding in the ship, and we looked at the relationship, and it was the first ship that we have to abide in. And the relationship means being born again. And relationship, when you look at the definition, it means a connection or association by marriage or blood. And we said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so as we abide in the ship, the first ship is the relationship. My question to you is, have you been born again? Is there been a relationship established between you and Jesus Christ? And then the second ship that we saw in the month of February was the stewardship. Where's my stewardship at? Here it is. Amen. Stewardship. And that is making sure that we understand that we are managers of the finances that God has given to us and our entire life. And a steward is one who manages another's finances, properties, or other affairs. And so we get into the ship by the relationship. God has given us a stewardship that we abide in. And by the way, at a minimum, to be right with God, you should tithe off of your gross income to be right with God. You should give an offering. What did Malachi say? Will a man rob God, but ye have robbed me? And he said, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. So at a minimum, I ought to be a good steward in tithing and giving an offering. And then if I love God and love souls, I should give to missions. Amen. Today we're talking about the worship. The worship. Let me say this, we won't fully know how to worship until we get to glory. Let's just be honest. Because if I need to worship in spirit and in truth, and I have the spirit, but I also have a fleshly body, and guess what? The spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. And the Bible says these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So that means that my worship and your worship at best is going to be questionable most times. Amen. And so we really won't understand fully worship until we get to glory. But we should gain knowledge so that we can worship God more and more. Let me say this about worship. The number one problem with worship around the world today is people trying to worship God without being born again or being saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but the average church is filled with more lost people than saved people. Oh, preachers say it ain't so. I'm a preacher, it is so. The average church is filled with more lost people than saved people oftentimes. People that think they're born again, people that think they're going to heaven, but people that have never, ever been born again. Does that shock you? It shouldn't shock you, because most of the crowd that Jesus drew was the same way. Very few people actually had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Were they followers of Jesus Christ? Were they in the crowd? Yes, they were in the crowd. Were they there? Yes, they were there. Were they saved? No, many of them were not saved. If they were, they wouldn't have gone back and stopped following. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't like that. You don't have to like it. The statistic is still true. In most churches, people are trying to worship God without being born again. Are they church members? Yes. Are they giving? Yes. Are they cordial? Yes. Are they morally upright? Yes. Are they saved, born again oftentimes? No. Are they attempting to worship God Almighty? Yes. Such is the picture of the woman at the well. She's trying to worship. She's attempting to worship. She even talks about worship. And Jesus said, "Ye worship, ye know not what." Preacher, that's tough. Yeah, it is. You find in our text today a woman talking about worshiping God without knowing God fully through the Holy Spirit. What does worship mean? The definition is this: to prostrate oneself in homage, to do reverence to someone, to honor, praise, and adore someone who is worthy of such high honor. You ever see these guys, they got these real fancy sports cars or nice cars, and they're proud of their car. What do you find them doing on Sunday mornings or any other morning? They're out there polishing that car, making it look good, giving it some attention. Some of them even perish the thought, after they clean their cars, will put it on Facebook and say, "Look at my car. Look at my car." What is that? Worship? Worship. They're saying, "Look at what I have." It's worship. It's a form of worship. You have folks that worship people. They worship cars. They worship homes. It means to prostrate oneself in homage, do reverence, to honor, praise, and adore someone who's worthy of such high honor. Originally, the word was worth-ship. Worth-ship. To show that the one being honored was worthy of praise, or assigning to God his true worth. With that said, what is God's true worth? What is God's true worth? In other words, what is God's true worth to you? What is God's true worth to you? Now just ponder that for a minute, because for each one of us, it may be different. What is God's true worth to you? And I will follow that by saying this: God's true worth to you is shown by how you worship him. What am I saying? The true worth that someone has for their car shows you how much they worship their car. The true worth of God shows how you worship God. Because the whole word worth-ship or worship means to honor someone, praise someone, to adore someone for who or what they are. Let me say this: our highest motive to attend church should be to worship Almighty God. Now, we come to learn. We come to find out what we should do. But our highest motive should be to worship him. When they came in the days of the Acts of the Apostles, it said praising God. They came to praise God, to worship him. Why? They were saved. They were saved. And by the way, this ship is a ship that most people don't like to talk about except passively. But they don't want to talk about how to worship. They just say we ought to worship. But if I don't know how to worship, how can I worship? Amen. If nobody teaches me how to play basketball, how can I play basketball? Nobody teaches me how to play baseball, how can I play baseball? If nobody teaches me how to play soccer, how can I soccer? At best, I'll make a monkey of myself. Amen. But you get someone trained on how to play a sport, or get someone trained on how to do something. By the way, this is why most parents make a mockery out of child rearing, because they don't know how to rear children because they haven't read the Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. We think we can do it from our own imagination, or do it the way our parents did it. Suppose your parents did it wrong. Amen. I remember the story of Pastor Bennett. Pastor Bennett told his daughter that an acorn was called an age corn. And so when Lynette got in school and they said, this is an acorn, she said, no, it's an age corn. And they said, no, 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 honey, you're wrong. No, I'm not wrong, because my daddy taught me it's an age corn. And it took a long time to get that out of her. You know, we teach children different from what the Bible teaches. It's going to take a long time to get that out of them. Amen. What I'm talking about. We learn from what people teach us. And oftentimes, worship is not taught. It's just expected. And then when it doesn't happen, we get mad at the parishioners or the congregation because they aren't doing it right. Amen. Our highest motives to attend church should be to worship Almighty God. There's nothing more important during worship services than our focus on our Lord, not on our circumstances. Somebody say amen. Not our situation. Somebody say amen. Not people. Somebody say amen. Or not our problems. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I got saved February 3rd, 1991 and came back to church the next Sunday, I had a whole lot of problems. I had a whole lot of debt. I had a whole lot of sin. But I came back to see Jesus and what he had did in my life. And I didn't care who was there. I sat right there on that front row, and I was on the edge of my seat. And I said, tell me more about him who saved me. Did I have problems? Yeah, I had problems. Did I have bad circumstances? Yeah, I had bad circumstances. Did I have debt? Yes, I did. But I didn't care. I was saved. And I came to church to see him who saved me, not anybody else. And I expected that preacher to tell me about him, so that I could worship him a little bit more, because I was so thankful that I was saved. I was so thankful. I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew I was saved. And I knew I wanted to learn more about him. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about this subject, and it may be a sore subject to you. But we must get back to the time in our services when we come in awe of God in our services. It's an awe of God. We have got to get back to that place, that point where we're in awe of God. I get to come and hear about God. I get to come before God. Hey, by the way, in the days of Moses, when they came before the mount, guess what? They said, if you touch that mountain, you're going to die. We need that kind of awe. This is God's place. This is a holy place. Stop the pettiness. Stop the foolishness. Stop the problems. Stop the arguments. Stop all the stuff that's foolish. And get back to praising and worshiping God. We come in with so much baggage, so much garbage, and we can't even praise God because we come in, oh, you don't know how bad it is, oh, preacher. Oh, this happened at my job. Oh, this happened at my home. And you say, where's God at and all that? We come to worship God, and we come in with a pity party. Do we have problems? Yes, we do. Do we have issues? Yes, we do. Do we have down parts in our lives? Yes, we do, but God is able. God is above all that. And we cannot worship God coming in without seeing him. We must see him in spite of our problems. Did Moses have problems? Yes, he did. You know what Moses said? Show me my glory. Show me my glory. He said, God, I need to see you. He said, you got me a million stiff-necked people. They're complaining on every hand. They're rebelling every time I turn around. God, I need to see your glory. And God pulled back himself and said, oh, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock of Moses. And I'm going to come by, he said, because you can't see me and live. But I'll show you my hinder parts. And just seeing the hinder parts made Moses glow like he was in the sun. The Bible said his face shone. Be honest, we come into church so preoccupied with so much stuff. We can't see God. Church services are dead. They're dry because the Christians are dead and dry oftentimes. Let's just be honest, folks. I go there too. Hey, I'm preaching to myself as well. Hey, I had some time to think about this the last several weeks. God, how is my worship towards you? And staying at home and not being able to come here, I said, man, I miss that place. I miss going to worship. I miss being there. And God said, well, how were you when you were there? I said, God, I didn't give you my best. God, I didn't give you my all. I didn't give you what I... He said, you miss it now, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. And it's not the same watching it on the internet. It's not the same watching somebody on TV. It's something special about being with God's people, with God's spirit, and with God's truth. It's something special about that. And my friend, when you miss that, when you come in here and you lack that awe of God and God's people and God's spirit and God's truth, you will come in with an orthodoxy, dry, dead, pharisaical worship. And that is what's permeating much of church today. Not just Shining Light, all around Tucson, all around Arizona, all around this country, all around this world. People are not worshiping because they don't care and they don't know how. Amen. And I'm talking about God-fearing people too. God showed me my own worship. He said, son, you don't like what you see. How do you think I feel about that? If you don't like it, how do you think I feel? And I saved you. He said, remember back in Belgium, that church 25 years ago when you got saved? And I thought, yeah, I remember that. He said, remember how you used to come? I said, yeah. He said, remember how you used to feel? I said, yeah. He said, remember how you used to care what people thought about you? You didn't really care what they thought about how you came dressed. He said, I didn't have a whole lot. I didn't have suits and ties. I didn't look like this when I first got saved. Now I know how you looked. But I didn't look like this. I had me a little old shirt, a little old disco tie, some little old disco pants, and preacher some white shoes. And came to church. I didn't have a whole lot. And I didn't care what people thought. I said, I got my disco clothes on, jacket smelled like cigarettes from the club. But I wanted to worship God. And I wanted to hear about God. And I wanted to learn about Him. And I was in awe of Him who saved me. And somewhere along the course, we get off track when it comes to that. James Boyce states in his commentary this. True worship occurs only when the part of man, his spirit that is, which is akin to the divine nature, for God is spirit, actually meets with God and finds itself praising Him for His love, His wisdom, His beauty, His truth, His holiness, His compassion, His mercy, His grace, His power, and all His other attributes. So there is everything to praise God about. And you know, we come into service after service after service, and we don't look for any of that. Let's just be honest. We're not looking for God's mercy. We're not looking for God's grace. We're not looking for His holiness, His truth, His beauty, His wisdom, His love. Most of us are just trying to get forgiveness for the sin that we're in. And we're trying to get out of that pit. But my friend, when you see God in His holiness, you will confess sin and try to stay right with God. The fact of the matter is, we often miss seeing God in the services. Ronald Graff, in his book called Pure Worship, state this. To a great extent, the way we worship God says something about our concept of God. Now, this is shame on many of us in Fundamental Circus. He said, if our worship services begin late, by the way, what time does service start? 10:40 what? 10:45. At 10:45, if service starts at 10:45, where should God's people be? But we're oftentimes our God's people. Fellowship hall, in the foyer, out back, in the ladies and men's room, talking. And the ushers that say, church is starting in about 5 minutes. Church started 5 minutes ago. Church started 10 minutes ago. And you know what some people have the audacity to say? He just kind of made me go into church.
He's trying to stop me from fellowshipping. No, fellowship should have stopped about 5 minutes till, and you should have went to the ladies or the men's room. You should have dumped your coffee out. You should have cleaned up your area 5 minutes till, and at 10:45, you know what you should have been? In here. Unless you have a ministry that you're tending to, you should be here. Preacher got to come there. All right, we're going to get started. All right, we're going to get started. All right, we're going to get started. Glory to God. Where are we at? You know what we're saying? I don't care about worshiping God. It's more important for me to talk to my brother and my sister. What's more important than worshiping God when we're here on Sundays? You got the rest of the day to fellowship with your brother or sister. And people get mad at my ushers for helping them to be ushered in here. I purposely put a clock in every room but this one. You know why? So you'll know what time it is. You know why I didn't put one in here? Because you don't need to know what time it is when you come in here. Say, preacher, but yes, I do. I got to go to. What's more important than worshiping God? That's why there is no clock here. You can look all day long. These hands don't move. They ain't going to move. There's not a clock back there. I don't care how long you look, it's not going to move. There's no clock over there. There is no clock over here. You say, but preacher, at my last church, that's why I didn't put one in this church, because you looked at it too much at your last church. People spend more time doing this. When is he going to be done? I thought we came to worship God. I thought we came. Now, in the presence of God, you know, I don't recall the apostles or the disciples saying, Lord, we've been with you too long. Anybody remember reading that part in the Bible? Lord, we've been with you too long. Why don't you get away from us? I don't remember that part. Matter of fact, you know what they said? Lord, send them away. It's too many people. Send them away, but we're going to stay with you. He said, send them away. They can get something to eat. He said, you give them to eat. But Lord, we want some time with you. I don't know about you, but I want time. Why do you think I sit up in the front? Pastor Nelson talked about it last Sunday night. I sit up in the front so I am not distracted by the back of anybody's head or them scratching their ear or them scolding their children or them talking about the preachers going too long or them looking at their watch. I don't want to see any of that because it's going to distract my worship and I want to see God. You say, well, preacher, can't you see God with all that stuff? I'm flesh just like you, flesh, and it distracts me just like it distracts you. If I see somebody talking, I think, are they saying I'm bald or something? I'm just like you. Well, do I have something in my jacket? What are they talking about up there? What is it? And they keep talking about it. It must be important. If it's that important to you, I'll give you the mic. No, I won't. Taking up God's time with foolishness. I sit up in front so I'm not distracted. Now, maybe you're a better man than I am, but I'll let you know I'm lesser of a man. I get distracted very easily. I have OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And when things are out of order, it distracts me. I'll see something on the ground, I'll go by, and I got to come back and pick it up. And my bum leg, I'm over there trying to get stuff and put it away. Who left this out? And got a bum foot. What am I saying? Stuff distracts me. When I come to church, I don't want to be distracted, so I sit up in front. Pastor Nelson said, I sit up on the front pew. I'll sit up in the pulpit if I could. Just look at him. Getting back to this Ronald Graff's article, he said, pure worship states, if our worship services begin late, progress haphazardly, and entertain us instead of change us, they portray God as having little value except to make us feel good. Now ask yourself this question, how often are you late for the services of God? How often are you late? Then ask yourself a second question. How often are you late getting in the services once the music has begun and you don't really have a good excuse? And then ask yourself a third question. How often are you late like that to your job? How often are you late like that to your school? That shows that you care more for that than you care for God. But God is merciful and my teacher is not. More reason why you should give him more praise and honor and respect. More reason. God is not some tyrant like your teacher or your boss, some taskmaster. He's omnipotent. He's benevolent. He's merciful. More reason why we should respect him. But oftentimes, the more mercy, the more respect, the more God is generous and kind to us, the more we walk all over him. Would to God we're back in Old Testament times sometimes. I fear it wouldn't be anybody in church, including the preacher. Amen. I'm just saying. He goes on to say this, if the services focus almost exclusively on what God can do for us rather than on who he is, they portray God as existing mainly as our servant instead of our sovereign. Of course, there's nothing intrinsically bad about feeling good when we worship. And who can dispute the fact that not only can God do great things for us, but he wants to do them. Nevertheless, true worship reaches beyond these parameters. He says this, true worship then perceives God as the Lord of the universe, exalted, absolutely holy, and worthy of our utmost reverence and adoration. This is how Isaiah perceived him in a life-impacting vision. Take your Bibles and go back to Isaiah so you can see what I'm talking about. Isaiah chapter 6. Say, preacher, are we ever going to get to the woman at the well eventually? But possibly not today. Amen. Why? We got to set the foundation, the framework up of why we're not worshiping, of why we come into church, of why we come in and go to sleep, of why we can't worship. Of course, I know we're tired. Of course, I know we're fatigued. Of course, I know we have many irons in the fire, but that is no excuse for not worshiping God the way he should be worshiped. I know there are medical reasons. I know there are all sorts of reasons why we do what we do. We come into church, but there is no excuse for not giving God our all. None. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1, he says, this is how Isaiah perceived him in a life-impacting vision, verse number 1. The year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, that's a type of angel. Each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, twain is two, and with twain or two he covered his feet, and with twain or two he did fly, amen. Imagine seeing something like that, I'll wake y'all up real quick, amen. Imagine coming to church and see that creature in the auditorium flying around. I bet y'all would be in awe of God then. I bet you worship then. You'd be saying, Lord, please protect me, here he comes. You would be, you saw something like that. One crying to another, verse 3, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That means this church as well. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And that's just the creature speaking. God ain't spoken a word yet. That's just the creature. He says down there, having a correct concept of God affects the way we view ourselves. When Isaiah glimpsed the glory of God, he saw his own sinfulness and confessed it in verse number 5. Notice verse 5. Then said I, God hadn't even spoken yet. He just saw the glory of God. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. If you and I came to church like that, there would be no petty sin in the house of God. But we come in with our sin. We don't say, oh, Lord, I'm undone. Lord, I'm in sin. Trying to sing. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully clean? Yeah, I'm in sin. That's how we come bold and brash, like God is not about us. And you cannot worship that way. Isaiah said, oh, Lord, I'm unclean. I'm around unclean people. That's the way you come to worship God. I'm unclean. They're unclean. We're all unclean. We're a midst of unclean people. And we need your mercy. We need your grace. Lord, we need you. It's not looking at your brother and sister and seeing how good you are compared to them. Not seeing how you can one-up them and dress better than them and look better than them. Last time I checked, God looketh on the heart. God could care less how your rags look. And my rags look. Because he said that's all they are, filthy rags. God's looking on the heart. But Isaiah got a glimpse of God. God hadn't even spoken yet. Just the angels just talked about his glory and proclaimed his glory. And Isaiah said, woe is me. Brothers and sisters, if we came through those doors that way, imagine the difference in our worship. Imagine the difference seeing God. But we don't see God. We see everything and everybody else but God. We see the preacher up here. You know, he can't even lead singing. Well, he picked that passage of scripture. Oh, I know that passage of scripture. Well, I know Isaiah. Oh, I know the woman at the well. Oh, he needs to set his old peg leg self down. See, you got the wrong focus. He says down here, true worship then shows how desperately we need divine grace and how unworthy we are to approach God without it.
True worship also involves a submissive will. Brother Neil talked about that a couple weeks ago. You should be willing to say, when I know what the will of God is, I'll do it. I'm already submissive. So when the preacher gets done preaching and you hear that thing that you need to do, you just come to the altar, do business with God and do it. It's over. It's done. I'm already coming with a submissive will. True worship also involves a submissive will. After perceiving God's sovereignty and his own sinfulness, Isaiah offered himself for service in verses 8 and 9. Notice what he says down there. He says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Isaiah already had that mindset. Lord, when I see the will of God, I'm going to do it. He goes on to say, when we enter a worship service, we ought to offer God open hearts and yielded wills, trusting him to show us from his word what deeds of service he wants us to perform. When we leave a worship service, we ought to carry with us a renewed sense of duty. In reality, then, a call to worship leads inevitably to a commission to serve. That's why oftentimes you'll hear me pray in my prayer, Lord, help us to leave differently than when we came in. Every time you meet with God, you should leave different than when you came in. Every single time. If you don't leave different, you didn't meet God. Amen. Because he will give you a command. He will tell you to clean yourself up. He will direct your life in a different way. Every time. God doesn't meet with you just for happenstance. He doesn't meet with you just for any old reason. He meets with your life and my life to get us conformed more to the image of Christ. That's why he meets us. And so each time he meets us, he's trying to get us to do something that we have not done or we are not doing or we used to do that we're not doing anymore. But how many at the end of worship services do leave the same way they came in? We pick up the same old petty life. We pick up the same old happenstance. We pick up the same old things. And by the way, folks, Satan fights true worship. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 8. Because Satan fights true worship. Amen. Is it getting hot in here to y'all? Is that just me? I got to put more energy to get on this crutch of mine. Satan fights true worship. Do you know the last thing that Satan wants you to do is worship God? You know why the last thing Satan wants you to do is worship God? Because there's only two people you can worship, God or the devil. And when you're not worshiping God, guess who you're worshiping? By proxy, you're worshiping Satan. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Why don't you think Jesus gave in to Satan? Because he knows he is worshiping the devil if he does. Think about it. If you listen to the devil, who are you obeying? The devil. Then who are you worshiping? The devil. You cannot obey the devil and worship God. They're contradictory. Notice Matthew chapter number 4, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down. And what's those next two words? Worship me. Satan is seeking worship from Jesus Christ. Everything that he did was worship. He says, turn the stones to bread. Worship me. Cast yourself down. Worship me. Hey, it is written. Jesus came back. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan said, let me just tell you what I really want. If you would just bow down and worship me. He couldn't get Jesus, so guess who he gets? You and I. Who are creating the image of God. Create an image of God. We come back next week. We're going to begin to go down through the woman at the well. Go back to John chapter number 6 or 4. I'm sorry. My main goal this morning is just to get your mind stirred up as to the type of worship that you're giving to God when you come. God deserves our best. God saved us. And God should get our best. John chapter 4. Jesus said in verse 22, you worship you know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You notice according to verse number 23, God is looking to be worshipped by us. Do you know that God could make us worship him? He could cripple us to the point where we got to get down on our knees. By the way, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That will happen. He will force that worship eventually that he is Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That will happen. Right now, you and I have voluntary worship. We worship him because we want to. He said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. He desires your worship of a free heart because of who he is and what he's done for you. Let me ask you something. What has he done for you lately? If nothing else, he woke you up this morning. If nothing else, he gave you breath. If nothing else, he allowed you the ability to stand, to walk, to talk. If nothing else, he gave you ears. He gave you eyes. He gave you a tongue. He gave you abilities. If nothing else, he has blessed you immensely. If he never blesses you again, you'll be blessed forever. Amen. And the Bible says he seeketh such to worship him. But in verse 24, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him. How? In spirit, in a spiritual way. Why? Because God is a spirit. And in truth, and that is factually the way God wants to be worshiped. There is no excuse for you and I not to worship God the way he wants to be worshiped. As flawed as it may be that we are sinners, we can still worship him better and better each day. Say, preacher, how do I know that? Because we have a Bible that tells us how. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. We can worship God because we know his book. And we can know his will. And we can come in and worship him. But my friend, the days of coming in with orthodoxy worship and just this is the way we come to church. And preacher, be happy that I'm just here. Is God pleased with that? You didn't come to worship me. You didn't come to satisfy me. I have no hell to put you in or no heaven to give you. God Almighty has that. And he is worthy of your praise. He is worthy of your worship. When we come through these doors, it should be to worship God. When 10:45 is here and it's time to worship, guess what? We should be in our seats. An usher shouldn't have to prompt you to come. You should want to come. You should say, man, if I don't get in there. If you've ever gone to Lancaster Baptist Church for Leadership Conference, that's the way it should be. People are beating down the doors to get in as if it were a musical concert or a sporting event. They're waiting outside the doors, lined up to get in church to sit down. They're waiting. They're desirous to be there. And my friend, if you're not early, you'll sit in the balcony. You don't have to beg them to come. They want to be there. Now, albeit there's a lot of preachers, albeit there's a lot of deacons, albeit there's a lot of Sunday school teachers there, albeit there's a lot of church leaders there who know the significance of being in the house of God, although there's a lot of people that are sold out Christians to God, but every Christian ought to be that way when it comes to worshiping God, because he's been good to you and he's been good to me. God gave me a lot to think about on my time. He said, how's your worship, son? I said, God, it's not been as it should be. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Sometimes we're not glad. And we're honest, sometimes it ruins our plans. The basketball game, the football game, the NCAA tournament, the WNBA, the MOUSE. Come on now. That's when the Mickey Mouse Club comes on and my children want to see that. You'd be surprised at things that people do to miss worshiping God. Get DVR. Get a VCR. Say, preacher, I can't afford it. You can't afford to miss this either. Amen. Folks, let's think about our worship this week. By the way, we'll be back tonight at 5 o'clock to worship again. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Will you be here? 5 o'clock. Preacher, this is the NBA championship finals in the conference, and your point is? Well, Cleveland is playing, and Indiana is playing, and then so-and-so is playing. The Bulls ain't playing, so who cares? I'm picking, folks, but what's more important than being in the house of God? God says not forsaking. You're not doing it for me. Again, I don't have anything to give you but this book, Word of God. God is the one who wants your worship. You know, the house of God would be a total different event, if I can use that word, if we would just come in ready to worship him and say, I want to see God. It matters not the person that's behind the pulpit. It matters this truth, and it matters your spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you don't get the truth tonight, but what kind of spirit will you bring? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you that you give us a Bible. Lord, this is not the most popular of messages. Most people just want to worship any old kind of way. They want to have it like the Samaritan woman and do it their way. But God, there is your way. And then there's man's way. Lord, help us to come into the house of God to do things your way. Lord, we also know that worship begins with a relationship being born again. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not about a baptism. It's not about a church membership. It's not about speaking in tongues. It's not about any other antic other than receiving Jesus Christ, confessing my sin, believing the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, all across this auditorium, there may be someone that has never been born again. And I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, that they would receive Christ today. I pray for those that are here to worship, God, that they will leave differently than when they came in. They would say, Lord, I have not bought in the right spirit, but I will bring the right spirit. I'm not worshiped in spirit and in truth. I've let other things cumber me about. And Lord, I pray that man, woman, boy, or girl will say, I'm going to do my dead level best to come in unhindered and unscathed by those things that are going on in my life and that are plaguing me. I'm going to come to worship you, God. I pray there will be some that will make that commitment today. And the next time the door is open, they'll come back differently because they will leave differently. And they will recognize we're coming to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, God, would be that we could be like Isaiah. I'm undone, I'm unclean, and so are those that are around me. Help us to see Jesus in all that we do. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed when looking around. How many would be honest to say, preacher, if the truth be known, I'm one of those that you spoke about. I've never been born again, but I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to come and point you out, but I do want to pray for you. I've never been born again. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've been baptized. I try to do the best I can. I try to keep the Ten Commandments. But if the truth be known, if I died right now, I'm not sure heaven is my home, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me today, preacher? All across this room, just stick your hand up. I want to pray for you right where you're at. You don't have to get up. I just want to acknowledge you, man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you're at. I've never been born again. If I died right now, I'm not sure heaven is my home. How many would say, preacher, that's me? That's me. Next question, and you don't have to raise your hand because we're all guilty. How many would say in the quiet of your heart, I have not worshiped God the way I know I need to. I have come in distracted. I've come in with circumstances and problems and people, and I've come in unequipped to worship God, and I need to do better. You don't have to raise your hand, but all of us are guilty of that, even me. We come with things and we can't see God, and we don't get the blessing, and we don't have the joy of worship that we should have. And worship should be one of the most joyous times of the day. And maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar today and do business with God and say, God, I've not done what I need to do with worship. I have my moments when I'm on top of it, but I quickly get surrounded by what I need to do and where I need to go, what I need to say, and what I need to be. And I lose sight of who you are. Lord, forgive me. Help me to be like it was when I first got saved. Help it be like it was with Isaiah. I see you. Not the preacher, not the people, not particulars, but I see you. Father, bless now. These next moments of invitation, help us as your people to do business with you and to truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for loving us. Meet our need in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment, as Miss Natasha plays, maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you need to pray like Isaiah and say, Lord, I'm unclean, I'm undone. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I need to do better in my worship. I know me as a preacher, I need to do better. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I've been distracted by things. I've been distracted by people. I've been distracted by events. I've been distracted by particulars and by all the things that I need to do. And God, I don't want to be distracted any longer. I want to come. I want to see you. I want to see you in your love. I want to see you in what you've done. I want to see you, Lord Jesus. Would you come? Take my life and let it be, Lord. Make it consecrated only to thee. As you're praying, think about it. James Boyce in his quote says, we should come praising him for his love. Have you thanked God for his love? Have you come to see his love? His wisdom, have you come to hear his wisdom? His beauty, have you come to see the beauty of the Lord? His truth, he is all truth. His holiness, God is holy, high and lifted up. Have you come to see that? His compassion, maybe you need his compassion today. Maybe his mercy. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Maybe you need his grace, his ability, his loving favor. Maybe you need his power in your life. Maybe you need his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence. You come to worship him today for those things. He said he seeketh such to worship him. That's you, that's me. I've been guilty of too many times coming into the house of God distracted, hindered from praising and worshiping God. Oh yes, I can get a blessing. But I don't want to be such about getting a blessing as giving a blessing to God. Of worshiping him, acknowledging him, seeing him, hearing him, adoring him who saved me, and being a part of loving him. Take my life and let it be consecrated wholly to thee. Know about you, but I've got to do better. I've got to do better. And by the way, your worship of God has nothing to do with anyone else in here. It's got everything to do with you and God. I told you my testimony, that's why I sit in front. I don't want to be distracted. I'm distracted enough in myself. I don't need any help. That's between you and the Lord. We're going to look at a little bit more things next week. But you let God speak to your heart. Pray that prayer. Lord, I don't want to leave the same way I came in. Help me to leave differently than when I came in. Help me to have seen you a little bit better. You're here without Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, but I'm a church member. It matters not. If you're not born again, being a church member will just make you a member of this church. It won't make you a member of the family of God. You must be born again. You must be saved. Preacher, I got baptized at my previous church. It doesn't matter. Preacher, I spoke in tongues. It doesn't matter. My daddy's a preacher. It doesn't matter. What matters is what you do with Jesus Christ. And you've got to see him high and lifted up. He lifted up his arms and he was crucified for you. He was buried and rose again the third day for you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. Don't leave here the same way you came in. Maybe you need to surrender for baptism today. You've been saved. Say, preacher, now I need to get baptized. Maybe you need to come. Perhaps you need to join this church. Preacher, I've
saved already, baptized scripturally, I didn't join this church. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Maybe you say, preacher, I need to surrender to a particular ministry. Maybe that's you. Would you come? Father, thank you for putting up with me in my times of divided worship. Thank you for putting up with me and still, Lord, blessing me. Lord, I've not worshiped the way I should. I've been distracted. I've been hindered. Lord, I want to see you when I come through the doors of the house of God. I want to check my baggage at the door when it comes to distractions. And although I can't forgive my own sin, I can't get rid of my sin, but I can sure say, Lord, have mercy on me and help me to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray that when I come through the house, come to the house of God, I can come ready to receive a blessing. But more importantly, I'm ready to be a blessing to you by worshiping you for who you are. And I pray that the rest of Shining Light, Lord, has those same sentiments in their minds, in their hearts. They don't want to be distracted. They don't want to be hindered. They want to see Jesus Christ. They want to see you high and lifted up. They want to praise you and adore you, God. And I pray for the Shining Light Baptist Church will not be hindered by the things around us, nor the people around us, but we'll be ready to praise you the next time we get an opportunity to be here. Lord, we'll not let anyone distract us from praise. We'll come with a ready heart, a ready mind. We'll come like Isaiah. I'm undone. I'm unclean. But I'm willing to do what you want me to do, Lord. I want to praise you because I see how holy you are. And God, although we won't be able to fully comprehend it until we get to glory, help us do our dead level best here by the Spirit's power to embrace the truth and worship you based upon the truth of the Word of God, unashamed, and Lord, with our deepest, sincerest heart. We know our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, but Spirit of God, take control and lead us in the way of righteousness and holiness, that the next time we come, it will truly be different for us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now. We get prepared to dismiss in Jesus' name. Amen.